Yes, indeed. That's who we are, the Voice of Barbados, 92.9 FM. Pleasant Sunday evening to you. I'm Gregston Seely, and we're into a new year. And that means we are going to restart the program, the Better Health Radio Show. And this evening, I am getting the impression, in fact, I think I was alerted to the fact that I will have all of the instructors on with us this evening. So I'm wondering what I did wrong. Am I being set up to be admonished? I doubt it, but nonetheless, I think we have all of them. I think so. So with that, yeah, I see Dr. St. Hill nodding. And I think we have all of them. Yeah, so with that, let us go over. I don't know who's going to take the lead, so I'll just throw it over to the floor and say good evening to all of the doctors. Whoever's going to take the lead will jump right on and present this edition of the Better Health Radio Show. Good evening, doctors.
Hi, good evening, Gregston.
I was wondering if nobody's
going to
Good evening.
Good evening, Gregston.
Hello, everybody. Good evening.
And good evening to our listeners.
Yes.
Now, just in case they've forgotten, I want you to reintroduce yourselves, all three of you, to our listeners of the Better Health Radio Show, starting with, since your first name begins with A, Dr. Adana, we'll go with you, and then, wait a minute, the other two are K's, so they'll work that one out. So let's go, Dr. Adana.
So good evening to all of our listeners across Barbados. I want to say a happy new year, and 2023 that's filled with good health and prosperity to all of our listeners across Barbados. My name is Dr. Adana Grandison. I am one of the hostesses for the Better Health Radio Show. I am also the first vice president of BAMP, and that is the capacity in which I sit here as we offer this show to you in the upcoming year. I would have started the radio show last year in the second half of 2022. And again, we are happy to be back to present various topics, and most importantly, to have good interaction with you in this coming year.
All right, that's Dr. Grandison. Who's up next?
Good evening, everyone. It's very good to be back. I know my voice was only heard about once last year, but I'm back for 2023. And my name is Dr. Kale Ford St. Hill, and I am also on the Barbara Executive Council. I sit as a floor member, and I am happy to have been able to come back in 2023 and to be with you for this year. So good evening to the listeners.
All right, Dr. Kia, your name is with an I, so E comes before I, so therefore, Keo, I would have got that right, went before you, so now your turn, please.
All right, good evening, a warm good evening, and a warm welcome to our listeners. We are so excited to be back again with you after a little break. We hope that you have missed us as much as we have missed you, and we are looking forward to an exciting year ahead. Lots of engaging discussions. We really want to hear from you. And Gregson, we're looking forward to continuing this program with you. So as we start off, we want to welcome you into our little room, and we ask that you call in this evening and really interact with us. We have a great year ahead planned for you.
Oh dear, I feel flattered already. Nonetheless, thank you kindly. Take it away, please. What have you got for us this evening?
So good evening, everyone. I wanted to just let you know, Gregson, and to our listeners, that we are starting off 2023 with a bang. And I know that usually when you hear that the year has changed and we are in a new year, we often tend to think about making New Year's resolutions. And when we think about making New Year's resolutions, quite often, they are usually not attainable, they're not sustainable. And so we start off with good intentions, but we may fall realistically along the way. And so this evening, the three of us, we really wanted to start the year the correct way, encouraging persons to adopt a slogan for 2023 and onward. And this slogan is, try my best. And I'll repeat it again, try my best. And I think for those of our younger listeners on the Hey 2.9, and also our tech-savvy, more mature listeners on, and note, Gregson, I have never said old, because I think you're as old as you feel.
Well, then I old.
But for our more mature listeners, we want to encourage you to set some realistic but yet achievable and attainable goals for 2023. And so this evening, we are going to walk you through how you can do such from a health perspective. And so I encourage you that you actually document your journey as the months go by, as the days go by, as the weeks go by. And we want to check in with you again. I'm putting you on early notice because this is a call to action for 2023. We will be checking in with you around the middle of the year. So anywhere May, June, July, we will be checking in with you. We want to encourage you to post. If you are on Instagram, post on Instagram. You know how, for those of you who post on Instagram, you can hashtag trying my best. If you don't know how to post, we will be providing you with some phone numbers. I know that we usually get the phone numbers. Gregson usually reads from the WhatsApp. We want to encourage persons, if it's a healthy plate, if it's you, for instance, you've been able to walk a further distance than you're accustomed walking, you know, whatever it is where you have improved and done better for yourself, we want to encourage you. And so that's how we're starting this year. We're going to start it correct, and we are going to be taking care of ourselves from 2023 going forward. And I'm going to now hand over to Kia.
All right. So before we go any further, I just want to remind you of our numbers that you can call in, because we are going to be asking you about your goals. What are some of the things that you set at the beginning of the year? You know, what are some of the goals you set for yourself personally, for your family? So as we throw out those questions, we want you to be able to reach out to us. Remember, you can reach us at 434-1790. That's 434-1790. And for those of you who prefer to WhatsApp your questions or WhatsApp your comments, you can WhatsApp to 266-4862. That's 266-4862. So we want to start the evening off. We talked about setting goals. I know there are a lot of people that don't like to set goals because they think I'm just going to fail again. But sometimes it's not that you set a goal. It's not how you set. It's not the goal that you set, but it's how you set that goal. It's not the goal that you set, but it's how you set that goal. So we're going to be talking about something called SMART goals. Some of you might have heard of this before. Some of you might have not heard of it. But SMART goals. We're looking at goals that are specific, measurable. So the S stands for specific, the M stands for measurable, the A stands for attainable, the R stands for realistic, and the T stands for time bound. So setting a deadline on that goal. And we're going to be applying that. We can apply that really to any goal we set, but we're going to be applying that specifically to health. So we want to set specific goals. What might that look like? So we don't want to just set a general goal. Many of us say at the beginning of the year, we want to eat better. We want to eat healthier. But instead of just saying, I want to eat healthier, we want to set a specific goal. Maybe you're not the type of person that eats vegetables at all. Or maybe you only eat them on Sundays like a lot of Asians. Yeah? So a specific goal would be, I want to make sure that I have vegetables on my plate at least 3 times a week. Right? That is specific. So that's a specific goal. I want to eat more vegetables and I want to make sure 3 times a week. And then you want to be able to measure your progress. So you want it to be measurable, something that you can look at. For example, again, you might say, I want to exercise more and I want to do some running. So that's more specific. But how are you going to measure that? You want to narrow that down by saying something like, okay, if you're a custom runner, you might say, I'm going to try to do 30 minutes 3 times a week. Now you can measure that. You can track that goal, right? Are you meeting that goal? That's a measurable goal as opposed to something loose. Like, I just want to run more this year. So that's measurable. But you also want to do something. And when you're talking about doing it 3 times a week, like I said, measurable means that you're doing a time, at least half an hour, right? At least half an hour, 3 days a week. And you can increase that as you are successful. You can say, well, I'm going to go up half an hour, 5 days a week after I reach my 3-day target. That's measurable. All right, let's talk about attainable. What does that mean? Many times we fall down because we set goals that we cannot reach. Realistically, we cannot reach. So again, with the exercising, if you're not a person that's accustomed running, if you set a goal that you're going to run for an hour every day, that's not something that you're likely to attain because you're not accustomed to it. So perhaps starting with walking and saying, okay, I'm going to start walking 3 times a week and I'm going to start, I believe it or not, 15 minutes. This is something that is attainable, especially for persons who are not accustomed to exercise. And you know what happens when you set attainable goals? Is that because you are able to achieve them, it encourages you to go on, as opposed to setting goals that you can't achieve. Then you fail, you feel discouraged, and you don't go on. So you want to set goals that are absolutely attainable. Yeah? Something that you can afford as well. We talk about attainable goals. Sometimes we want to go to the gym, but our budget might not allow us to go to the gym. Times are hard, right? So if you say, well, I'm going to the gym, but you know you don't have the budget for it, that's not something that is necessarily attainable. So you want to set goals that you can actually attain. You may say then, walking is free, so I will walk instead. And then you want to be able to set goals that we said that are realistic. The attainable goals and the realistic goals are somewhat similar. A realistic goal, what realistic goals allow you to do is to maintain them in the long term. So you're talking about things that you can do and then things that realistically fit into your lifestyle. So you might be able to walk 3 to 5 days a week, but is it realistic for you to be able to do so? You have your children, you have your other responsibilities. Is it going to fit in? Is it realistic that you can actually accomplish this? So you have to sit down, carefully look at your lifestyle, carefully look at, you know, all the factors, your work, your children, all the different things that you have to do and say, can I realistically fit this in? Will it work for me? The important thing is not to take on somebody else's goal, but to set goals that are realistic for your lifestyle. And then the last thing is that you want to be able to set goals with a timeline attached. So if you say, you know, we're always starting our workout on Monday and it's just a random Monday, and Monday comes and we say, all right, next Monday, right? But you want to put a timeline on this thing. Now, weight loss is a good thing to look at when it comes to timelines, right? It's good and bad because sometimes we pressure ourselves too much. But if you say you want to lose some weight, in what time? Time allows you to decide what you need to do and the intensity that you need to do it at in order to accomplish it. So if you say, all right, I was a little greedy, a little licorice, as the Bajans would say, as we would say over the holidays, and they put on a little 10 pounds and it went the right places. Ladies, they didn't go on the hips or the behind, so you're not happy with it, right? It went around the waist. And we're saying we want to lose that 10 or that 20 pounds. In what time period are you hoping to lose that? Yeah? So set a time for yourself. I am hoping that I can lose that weight, let's say in 2 to 3 months. And in order to do that, I'm going to set the rest of my goals. Goals that are specific, goals that are measurable, goals that are attainable, goals that are realistic. And finally, I'm putting a timeline on it so that I know when I want to achieve this goal. I want to encourage you, even if you don't achieve it by that time, you should have achieved something by that time. And you can decide, okay, what do I need to do differently? Set another timeline then. So you reach the 2 or 3 month mark, set another timeline. What can I do differently now to reach the goal within that specific time? So those are our SMART goals. And I want our listeners, as I spoke about it, goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. What are some goals that you can set this year that fall into those categories? I'm just going to throw that out there. And that's it for me as SMART goals.
Okay, I want to say thank you very much, Kia. I know that we can think about a lot of SMART goals, whether it's dieting, exercising, even sleeping and self-care. And so I really want to take this opportunity now to hand over to Kia, because Kia's pace, Kia's training, Kia's feel of psychiatry is not one that only deals with mental illness, which some persons often tend to lump the field of psychiatry with, but it is more holistically also looking at wellness. And so, Keo, I wanted you to now take the floor and really go into some of the things that we should be practicing and encouraging our listeners to be doing for 2023 to take care of themselves.
Thank you, Adana. Yes. So as Adana said, in psychiatry, we don't only look, I don't only come in when it's possible looking at mental illness, but wellness, mental health, overall wellness altogether. So we look at the physical, the spiritual, the emotional health, everything. And we already heard about setting SMART goals. And, you know, everybody would say, this is the Better Health Show. So they think that the only things that we're going to come and talk about is exercise and diet, which are very important because they're the backbone of health. But then there's some other things that we have to get from. And Dr. Granison mentioned, one of them, no, and that is sleep. That is one of the biggest issues that a lot of people have. There are people who will say, well, I only sleep 3 hours, or I only sleep 4 hours every night. I can't get any more than that. I wake up early. But are you rested? No, there are persons who will say, I sleep 4 hours and I'm quite fine for the whole day. But then there are people who would love to sleep much more. And so one of the things we need to look at within this year as well is sleep hygiene. So you hear about hygiene in terms of washing your hands, in terms of sanitizing, you know, making sure that you don't cough in somebody's face, cleaning down surfaces, but you also need to look at good patterns for sleep. So one of the things that we really need to do is look at what is the correct amount of sleep for the age that I am. Because you would know that when you first brought home a newborn baby, that the baby might only sleep an hour, 2 hours, and more, they wake up hungry. But then as they got a little older, they're 6 months old, 9 months old, you know, you may be able to get a 3 hour window before the child wakes back up. And it's the same thing with us. As time goes on, you realize you require a different amount of sleep. The all-nighters that you can pull when you are at university, you cannot pull in your 30s and 40s anymore. It does not work. When I do that, I am a mess. So we have some recommendations. So when you're looking at a child, and we only think about children when it comes to requiring more sleep, so we start there, right? So children, so babies, anybody under the age, you're looking at needing overall for the day 14 to anywhere from 14 to 17 hours of sleep. And they may not sleep because somebody said, my baby never sleeps 12 hours yet. But that's not what we want. We don't want them to sleep all of it at one time. But remember, they have naps during the day. And what you realize is that if a child does not sleep, then the child is very cranky. They're very miserable. They will be restless and cold. They, every little thing turns into a meltdown, right? And as they get older, you have a child that's at school, so primary school age, you know, they need anywhere around, let's give it average of about 10 hours of sleep at night. So that's why they have a bedtime. Some of them may sleep a little less, and some of them might sleep more, but we have to make sure that they have a bedtime, because we're not just looking at better health for ourselves, but we're looking at better health for our children, our school children as well, right? And then as you get older, you realize as an adult, you probably only need to sleep 6 to 8 hours. And a lot of you at home are probably like, 6 to 8 hours, but I never sleep now yet. We have a problem if that is the case. And then as you get older, you realize that like, the elderly don't really sleep that long. As well, they may not sleep 8 hours straight. They may take a little nap during the day. They may sleep 5 or 6 hours at night. Some of them may sleep 8 hours, some of them may sleep 12, you know, because, you know, they're people of leisure by that stage. but your sleep requirements change as time goes on. And that is one, if you are not sleeping, you can't function. So everything goes down. So we need to, there are little things that you can do in terms of exercising, eating a balanced diet, all of that ties in with your sleep. And in order to lose weight, you actually have to sleep. And then the other thing is that we have to have a good routine before you go sleep, not just for the children, but for adults as well. So you do not want to be sleeping 30 minutes later when the phone hit you on your forehead because you dropped your phone in your hand or with the tablet in your hand. And you might say, what, doctor, I've been reading a book. Okay, we need to get back to reading actual books, read turn pages later. Because if you don't, you need to learn to shut off that tablet at least an hour before you want to sleep. Because you're gonna, your brain needs to shut off. And the blue light from the screen tricks your brain into thinking that it is daytime. And so you will not go sleep. So we need to do that. And you also need to cut out the caffeine before you go sleep. I know there are persons who will tell me, I could drink coffee and then don't have it. All right, good for you. But it's still, you might not realize it at the time, but it's better sleeping 8 hours, you're only sleeping 6 or sleeping 5 because you're drinking coffee all the time, because you're drinking Coke all the time. Some teas also have caffeine, so you have to look at the herbal teas that you're drinking as well. All the energy drinks, the Monster and Red Bull, well, not on the brands, but the energy drinks, you need to cut those out as well. So there are a lot of things where sleep is concerned. It's one of the most essential. It's as essential as drinking water, which I know is one of our other topics for today as well. But remember, feel free to call in and tell us what your goals for 2023 are. We're not calling them resolutions because those have a bad rap. We want just your goals. So let me tell you what my goal for 2023 personally. It's not necessarily a health one. Of course, I do want to exercise more. I haven't quite done a SMART goal, as Dr. Lewis has indicated, but I'm going to develop mine into a SMART goal before the end of tonight. But I want to read at least one book per month because I want to reduce my screen time and I want to get back to reading. And not just looking at videos, so I want to read. So that is for my mental health and development.
Oh, great. I like Kiel's first goal that she's put into this space. She's actually set a timeline as well in terms of how quickly she would like to get through that book. And I like that she's actually going back to paper. I know for those persons who are book fanatics, we generally tend to like the feel and the smell of the book. Yes, you have the Kindle readers. Yes, you have all of the various apps that allow you to read the audiobooks for some person. But there's something about paper, the smell, the feel, everything about it that adds to the experience. So I want to move on now to our second area, which we will be discussing, and I'm going to take this one, the area of exercise. And I know that this is quite a controversial topic. We are seeing a lot of persons moving. Last year, the Ministry of Health had a Get Up and Move initiative where we are moving more. It was in 2022. We want to really continue that initiative throughout the year. But what do we really mean when we say we want to exercise? What type of exercise do we want to do? So we have three different possible examples and types of exercise that we want to incorporate. And the American Heart Association, as well as the CDC, makes very specific recommendations in terms of how do we improve our exercise habits. And why is it that we're doing all of this? We're doing this to improve our cardiovascular health, to improve that heart, a healthy heart. And what are some of the things that we can do? We can undertake moderate intensity aerobic exercise. Big fancy term, what do I mean? Get out there and walk. And I'm not talking about Keo, Kia, and myself walking and discussing what we saw in the news last night, or probably someone discussing with their colleague the latest soap opera, and you're able to comfortably breathe and talk on the phone, but you want that you're unable to carry out full sentences as you are walking, a brisk walk. And how long do we want to carry out that walk for? We want to be briskly walking, which would be considered a moderate intensity exercise, for approximately 150 minutes in a week. That sounds like too much. But if we had to break that down over the period of 5 days, that is a mere half an hour a day. That's one way we can achieve our exercise goals. Now, for those persons like myself, who will often say, but I really don't have half an hour to spare a day. I have so much on my plate. Keo is telling me I need to sleep more, so I sort of want to maximize all my hours of rest. You may choose to do vigorous intensity aerobic activity, such as jogging or running. And you're going to be performing that for approximately 75 minutes every single week. Okay? And that allows you to be able to get in a nice high intensity workout. Some persons may even do high intensity interval training and get it done for a shorter period of time while getting good results. And then the last thing you can do is a combination of both, because who likes to do the same thing all the time? Sometimes it gets very, very boring. So you can do a mixture of moderate and vigorous intensity exercise for more than 2 days in a week. Now, remember I stated you have your moderate exercise, which is 150 minutes in a week, vigorous exercise or serious exercise that you're undertaking where you're running, and we want to try to get persons up into their target heart range. And we're going to be doing that for 75 minutes in a week. And then we have the combination, which can be done 2 or more days a week. But we also want to couple that, because that's all of our aerobic exercise, we also want to couple that with a little bit of muscle strengthening activity. Does that mean that you have to lift weights, or you need to go and purchase weights, or you need to join a gym and take the stackable weights? Absolutely not. You can also perform exercises using your own body weight. And actually, I recommend that that's where you start. For those of you who have never done any sort of weight training before, I'm not asking you to be overly ambitious and say, okay, I'm going to take up the 10-pound dumbbell and I'm going to start working out, because then you're going to be sore. You're going to call back in on the second show and you're going to say, Dr. Grandison, that was an absolute mess and I'm never doing that again. And that's not what we want you to do. We want you to take it nice and slow, attainable, realistic, and then increase as you want. Now, there are some persons who can't meet these goals even to start. And wherever you can start is where we want you to start. So if, for instance, you couldn't moderately exercise for 30 minutes a day, then we are saying if you can only do 10 before you start to feel unwell, or before you get very winded, or before you're getting muscle cramping, that's what you are going to do, 10 minutes. And if tomorrow you're able to do 12 minutes, you need to celebrate that. You need to pat yourself on the back. Oh, job well done. And you continue to improve on your goal. And that is why we are saying hashtag trying my best, because it's important to celebrate these goals. So I want to encourage all of the persons out there, try to exercise. We want you to exercise at least 75 minutes, vigorous exercise in a week, 150 minutes in a week for a moderate exercise, or if you're doing a mixture, 2 or more days in that week, along with some muscle strengthening.
Donna, I just wanted to add some things here too when we talk about exercise, because you have the basics there. And I love what you said about starting where you are and building up and patting yourself on the back. That's really important. But let me say, in order to, in terms of carrying on the motivation, so some things that you can do, you have to choose something that you like. We talk a lot about running, we talk a lot about walking, but for some people that are so boring, there's a lot of aerobics, or this so-called aerobics. There's things like the kangoo dancing with the jumping boots. You know, there's all so right. many ways. Some people like to go to the beach, so they may go to the beach for a walk, they may swim. There's so many ways that you can exercise. What you need to do, you can put on YouTube, you know, put on some music and get a sweat in the house. That is exercise. Right. You could put on a video from YouTube, you know, an actual exercise video. And again, it's in the privacy of your home because everybody doesn't like the gym and everybody doesn't like the road. But at least you're doing something that you enjoy. So I want to encourage people, do not commit to something that you do not enjoy. If you know that you hate doing something, don't let anybody force you to do that thing, especially if you've tried it before and you absolutely did not like it. There's no pressure. Find something that you like. The second thing I want to say is to put out your exercise clothes the night before. For the morning, if you exercise in the evening. Because sometimes it's just the hassle, especially for the ladies who want to look nice. I'm telling you, when you exercise and you're wearing something that makes you feel nice, it makes all the difference, right? So especially for the ladies and you're going out with a group, you might be nervous about going into the gym, or you might be nervous saying, find your exercise clothes, put them out so that you're not waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and saying, geez, I've got to pull through that drawer now to find the old socks. You know, everything is laid out. When you roll over on your bed, you should see it there is a reminder, get up and get moving. And the third point I want to make is find a support group.
I was just about to say that.
Yep. We had a support group on WhatsApp with my friends from QC, a support group called Fit Chicks. It has since died. Perhaps we need to revise it. But we would encourage one another with our workouts. We would send our post-workout sweaty pictures. We started posting healthy meals. And that really, really helps. Some people that you can be accountable to, people that you can work out with. And like I said, even if you can't work out with them, sometimes I will be having a low day and I'll be saying, I'm not doing anything today. And then my friend would post in the group and they would say, let me get up and move. So that support group helps to keep you accountable. And where there are already community-based groups, so churches, clubs, whatever that is, I want y'all to start thinking, how can we get our people involved? How can we get into groups and support each other in terms of exercise, eating well, a healthier lifestyle? That support is really, really important. So I just want to throw those tips out there for those who want to start and continue it. The motivation really helps.
And for the men out there, you know, you always put in a plug for the men, Gregson. I always try to incorporate the men because we often forget them, but I try not to forget them. Participate in the group activities, whether it's football, cricket, squash, row tennis. I know a lot of men like cycling. We often see them very early on the highway riding on the morning. It's their opportunity to get away. Certainly, if you have your male group and you want to participate in these activities, get out there. And it also provides an opportunity to mentally thaw. I like to take that term. Everywhere you go, you need to mentally thaw. Kia spoke about, you know, getting good sleep. Kia spoke about making sure I go to the beach. That is my mental thaw. That is what I try to obtain and achieve every single week. Not always possible, depending upon what's happening, but Sunday morning is usually my morning to get out there and exercise at the beach. Get in a good swim and also get the opportunity to just laugh. And I think that's so important. So in addition to your exercise goals during the week, certainly you can have your mental thaw moments, your personal moments, your self-care moments at various times during the day.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I think the self-care is very important. And like you said, I like that you're always putting in a plug for the men. Because a lot of times when we talk about self-care, the ladies think about things like pedicures and manicures. And everybody thinks that self-care is only for ladies. But self-care is also for men. Self-care is just what it says. You're taking care of yourself. You're taking a moment out to think about yourself. Yeah. So that is so, so important. And with that, we talked about exercise. We know that with exercise, you really work up a sweat. If you're doing it right, you should be working up a sweat, right? If you're exercising too pretty and you're not sweating, you need to put in a little bit more work, okay? So if you're working up a sweat, it means that you're losing fluids from your body and you need to replenish yourself. So the next thing that we want to talk about hydration. Before we go there, awfully quiet this evening, we want to remind you, you can reach us at 434-1790. We want to hear about your goals for the year. We want to hear your questions about how to set those goals or anything else. 434-1790. And you can WhatsApp us at 266-4862. And we're okay if you call or you WhatsApp and say these goals don't make any sense. You know, we can take that too, right? So let's talk about exercise, water, drinking water. Water is really important. All your body systems require lots of water to work well. So when you're looking at from the brain, you know, maintaining your concentration well during the day, you need to drink lots of water. You will find that when you become dehydrated, your brain can become fuzzy. You're not able to make decisions as well as you would have been able to. So you need to drink water to keep your body hydrated, keep your brain functioning well, your skin. Talk about why that youthful glow. Everybody wants to look young and good and wrinkle-free. A lot of that is your water intake. Are you using enough water, right? And then, of course, your urinary tract, your kidneys. You have serious issues with kidney disease in Barbados and for many other reasons. But you want to continue to keep your kidneys working well. You need to drink lots of water. That's important. So when you look at all the different aspects of your health, water intake is really important. And I'm very encouraged. I see this trend with a lot of people with those big bottles that have, you know, at different times a day, how much water you should take. And then they have a little encouraging note. I think that's excellent. That's a good way to track your water intake and even to encourage you to drink more water. But I want to give some tips to people who might not like the taste of water. There's some people that just cannot stand the taste of water. What I want to say first is to your water intake, we normally recommend for women, you're looking at something like 2.7 liters a day, right? So you want to be taking in, it sounds like a lot of water, but if you break it down, it's not that much. So 2.7 liters a day for women of fluid overall, and 3.7 liters for men of fluid overall, right? And that includes the water that's coming also from your food as well. But one of the benchmarks that we like to use is at least at minimum 2 liters. That's what we're aiming for. And that's the person that is healthy, a healthy adult. Because remember, there are people who might have heart conditions or problems with the kidneys that might not be able to drink as much water. It may cause a problem. And if that's the case, your doctor would have told you, right? So you're fluid restricted, your legs may swell if you drink too much water, or you might feel winded. We're not talking necessarily to drinking the amount of water for those people. For everybody else, healthy adults, we want you to be drinking at least 2 liters of water a day. If you do not like water, you can try these tips. You can try adding things like cucumbers to your water, right? So I see a lot of people with cucumbers. People also add fruits. So you can add things like strawberries. Those things might be expensive. That's no problem. Add fruits that are in season. No, we're not making juice. We're not making juice, so we're not throwing any sugar in there. We're not blending it up. We're adding the fruit whole. And the aim of that is just to add a light flavor to the water. The other thing you can add is lime. Just a little bit of lime. Not that it's too acid that you can't take it. Just a little bit of lime to that water. Again, to give it a little flavor, right? And then putting the water in the fridge. My son, when he was younger, hated water. And it was like, where have I failed, Lord? Where? Hated water. But I found what helped is that he actually liked cold water. I prefer room temperature water. And I did not realize that he preferred cold water. And so a tip that I give to parents all the time for their children, figure out what temperature water your child prefers. Some of you don't like water because you've never really tried using chilled water consistently. Or you've only used chilled water and you're not accustomed to room temperature water. So find out if it is a temperature thing. I find the water, believe it or not, tastes different somehow at different temperatures, right? And for our children, I would say young children like a certain degree of autonomy. What worked extremely well with my son was giving him a water bottle and putting it in the fridge. He liked the idea of pulling the fridge, taking out his water and drinking it, not having to come and say, Mommy, I want. That made him feel like a big boy. So if you're having a child who is struggling with water intake, along with adding the fruits and the different things to the water, give them a water bottle. And the same way you set a goal, you could give them one of the fancy bottles too, Or if you can't afford the fancy bottles, buy a bottle and get a good permanent marker and put some marks on it. Yeah? And put some little hearts and stars. And when they get to the top, a little explosion saying, well done. And those things can really motivate children to drink more water. Put it in the fridge door and let them sip on that water. At the end of the week, you can do something special for them if they've met their water goals. All right? So all of those are things that you can do to try to increase your water intake. I want to encourage you, especially if you are exercising, you are involved in vigorous activity, you might need more water than you recommended. Always work out with water with you. Don't go to the gym, don't go on the street unless you have some water. Make sure that you're maintaining your hydration. Adana, I don't know if you had anything that you wanted to add.
No, I think you actually did a pretty good job there, especially because I could imagine because we do have a very significant population of persons with kidney disease and heart failure. I expect that I would probably get a few calls of persons saying, but doc, you know, my doctor has told me not to drink so much water because it can cause problems. And right. So I'm happy that you made a specific note that this is the recommendation for healthy persons, certainly those persons who have conditions or may even suspect that they have conditions based upon some of the changes they're noticing. They're unable to lie flat and sleep at night. They're noticing some swelling in the lower limbs. They're recognizing that they're having difficulty breathing. You need to have that conversation first with your doctor before you undertake exercise, and also before you go taking in that recommendation of water. And Kia, I saw that you stated, you know, that it's good for females to take in that 2.7 liters. But I know that there are a lot of persons say, but I really don't know what's 2.7 liters. And how do we put that in cups? That's just about 11 and a half cups of water in a day. And for men who are supposed to take in about those 3.7 liters, that's about 15 and a half cups in a day. So more relatable terms, that's our job here to just try to make it as easy as possible for you to follow through with that goal that you will set. I'm still waiting to at least hear my callers this evening to come out. And even if they just mention the goal, they can send them to Gregson. Gregson, do you have a goal for 2023? I'm putting you on the spot.
Goal for 2023. I haven't thought about it, but yeah, walking was definitely on the calendar. Did that. Right. I did that, what year was it? A couple of years back, and it worked wonders. Last year, not so much. And I actually had my stuff out. I heard Dr. Kia say, put your stuff out. And I actually had them out. I still did not get up and do it. But, you know, we had it out. That's true. But, yeah, walking is definitely on the cards. And you're asking about your caller. So before I forget, I was waiting for, there she is. She mentioned about sleep. So I was going to use her to respond to this. But anybody can respond, I guess. It might be off topic, but this one says, good evening to the doctors, wishing them a healthy, happy and prosperous new year. I am in my mid-50s and taking 5 milligrams of lorazepam, but still not sleeping no more than 2 to 3 hours. What should I do? I don't know if that's down your alley, but that's what they asked me to ask you.
It certainly is. I am very thankful to that person for sending that message. Let me... advice for that person is that they need to see their primary care physician to revise that. Because if you have to be taking so much of one medication and you're still not sleeping, then you need to look at the medication that you're on. We also need to look at the reasons that you're not sleeping. And we need to address the cause of your insomnia. And then if there is a need to treat with medication, to change while you're on. So that one is a difficult question to address by that person. But their primary doctor, whether that is the specialist that they're seeing or the general practitioner that they're seeing, whoever is prescribing that, because somebody better be prescribing it, better be prescribing that dose, then they need to make an appointment with them to revise that. And that was one of the things that I was actually going to speak about. I know it's back to me for a little bit. But in terms of your health goals for the year, One could be, I need to get my annual physical done. That could be your goal for this year. You may not be able to do it in January. We know payday for January looks like it's about 6 weeks from now. But, you know, just say in this year, 2023, within the first quarter of the year, I'm going to go and get my physical with my general practitioner. If you have conditions that you take medication for, you stay, because we're human. We know that there are days that you forget, there are days that things happen, days you may not feel well and you don't take it. But make one of your goals for 2023, I am going to take my medication every day, all 365 days.
And
you already missed a couple.
And Keo, I think this is a beautiful time to encourage patients, which I don't very often, to encourage patients to cheat. If you can't remember to take your medication on your own, yes, you have a smartphone. Correct. Set an alarm at that time that you would usually take the medication. When that alarm goes off, it goes, aha, this is the time for me to take my medication. Don't rely on yourself. You have too many things to worry about in the course of a day. So I'm saying to you, this is the head time to cheat. I see, Gregson, you have a call coming in.
Yes, please. So let's go right ahead. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Anthony Hope calling. I want to wish all you in the studio a safe, healthy, financial, enjoyable 2023 from January to December.
Thank you very much. Thank and you, I accept that.
I receive it.
I'm not speculating on it, so I'm going to ask the question, but you don't need to answer. I'm wondering if it is because you all are doctors that you decide you are not going to tell the people, because you're not supposed to advise, that the first thing you need to do is check with your medical practitioner in terms of a physical exam to see where it goes with your body in terms of endurance and exercise, in terms of the possible damage that could come to the ligaments, the tendons, the joints, and the muscles, in terms of the exercise regime or routine on a daily basis. Are you all afraid to let them know that the first thing you need to do before you set your goals is to check with your doctor, get a physical, and then be advised of the type of exercise regime that you need, that is applicable to you in terms of safeguarding you from that physical damage to physical exhaustion and exercise?
Absolutely not. I don't think we are scared. And I think actually Dr. Ford St. Hill actually just mentioned about the importance of going and getting that annual physical. And we recommend that patients actually try to get their annual physical at the beginning of the year, because it sets the stage. We don't want persons coming to the doctor when they're unwell. We want to encourage persons to come to the doctor when they're well as part of their annual wellness visit. And that's the opportunity for you to have any conversation that you want to have, whether it's related to your exercise health and tolerance, whether it's related to your sexual health and tolerance, whether it's related to your sleep patterns, as Dr. Ford St. Hill would have spoken about. So I do agree with you, Anthony. It's the perfect thing that you need to do before you partake in these exercises.
I wanted to ask something there too. Most people that are young and relatively healthy can go ahead and start any low to moderate intensity exercise. There's a specific group of people though, if you know that you're diabetic, you're hypertensive, you have issues with your heart, anything like that, for sure, these are people, if you're starting a new exercise program, especially, that you need to see your doctor. And that's something that I'm so glad that you called in and you brought that up. If you have a chronic disease, the underlying issue, you definitely should check in, especially if you are increasing the intensity, you're joining a new program. I know there are a lot of programs out there, like a six-week program or anything like that. Anytime that you're jumping into exercise that you're not accustomed doing, something that's different, and you have a chronic condition like that, you should just check in with your doctor to make sure that your heart and the other parts of your body are able to take the intensity of the exercise.
Now, the other thing that I wanted to add at the latter before I finish, because there's another point I want to make, is that if you are 35 years and over, you should make sure you check for that physical examination before you start. 35 years and over. I didn't want to put that right up front. I want you to say yourself and then get in so that they know, so long as you're 35 years and over, you must go and get that exam. It is for your own safety and security. And to make sure that you reach your goal.
All right. Your last point, Mr. Hope?
Now, the last point is in terms of setting goals. Now, setting goals is also an emotional developmental skill. And in order to motivate you to go on, instead of setting goals that are long and that may take some practice to achieve, you can set simple goals that may last for 5 minutes and achievable, and it motivates you to go on and on and on, and then you can set higher goals and longer limits and longer time spans. Because in this time where people are very stressful and emotionalities get the better of you, you may get it with all the good intentions, and then the time goes away because the time factor is important, and you don't get to achieve your goal. And that leads me to the second point, that if you don't achieve your goal at 10 o'clock, it doesn't mean that that's the end of the world. You can try to achieve it at 12 o'clock.
Or you can try to achieve it the following day.
Exactly.
Yes, I completely agree with you, Mr. Hope. I think that these are solid points that you've made. I don't think any of the ladies on the panel will disagree, or any doctor certainly would disagree with any of these points. I think that they are quite important, and we thank you for adding to the contribution this evening.
Thank you so much for listening. My intention is that, having been in all types of exercise programs, including my own, I find that, you know, sometimes it's a turn off when people have, when you tell them you need to go to your doctor, they don't think about going to the doctor to spend. But somehow we need to encourage them and let them know it is extremely important to get a doctor. Because if you're doing an exercise program and you sprain a ligament or a tendon in the ankle and you don't know, and then you come back and exercise, it gets worse. And then you will finally have to go to the doctor, and you may not be even able to walk.
All right, Mr. Hope, I got to cut you there. Why? Because, one of them left. So I'm going to try to catch this one before the other one leaves as well. I've got another call in the line.
No problem.
All right, Hobie, we will chat later in the year, I'm quite sure. And guess what? I just took Mr. Hope off and all two left. Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness me. All right. Carry on, doctors. And I hope they will call back so I can at least get them before we say goodbye. But they were going there for a little while. So my apologies to you callers. If you can call me back, I would be more than happy to let you speak with the good doctors that we do have here. But in the meantime, Dr. Grandison, it's back over to you.
Before Gregson, I just wanted to add something really quickly. I like what the last caller said about when you're setting those goals, setting those short-term goals, you know, like I'm going to finish my water today. I have my bottle, I'm going to finish my water, etc. I also want to add to that positive self-talk. So when you do not accomplish a goal, what do you say to yourself? You know, do you say to yourself, I am such a failure. I've tried this before and, you know, this is not working for me. I can never get in shape. I can never... And sometimes we think that this is mumbo jumbo, but a lot of what we say to ourselves is what will actually, you know, what we actually become. So I want to encourage persons, even as you set those goals and you pursue those goals, there are going to be times that you don't necessarily hit the target. And you have to be able to encourage yourself. You have to be able to pat yourself on the back for making the effort. You have to be able to go through bad days, recognizing that, yes, this is a bad day, but it's just a bad day, and it doesn't need to set me completely off course in terms of what I want to accomplish. So you might want to eat healthier, but you might find a day or maybe even a week that you have binged on things that you're not accustomed to. You want to move more, but you might find some time that you didn't exercise for this week. You don't have to throw yourself down. You can tell yourself, you know what, I am trying, and I'm going to get back up, and I can do it. So I want to add that, along with setting shorter goals, congratulating yourself, also knowing how to deal with failure and getting back on track.
All right. Well, let's congratulate ourselves, because I think we might have a caller back. Very good evening to you.
Very good evening.
All right. Now, before you carry on any further, make sure you turn your radio down, because the good doctors want to hear you. And yeah. The feedback that's coming back will annoy them a bit. So just turn your radio down just a wee bit for me. And then go ahead and speak to them. They're more than willing to hear you.
Okay. Very good evening to one and all. And I'm wishing all those of you who are not saved, be saved this year before it's too late. Okay? That's why what is happening. You don't know what the next 5 minutes owes to you. And to die without a relationship with Christ is hellbound, and you don't want that. What is happening is that I am in good health. I have diabetes. I'm in good health. My kidneys and liver and heart, doctors told me everything is in fine shape. What has happened is that I used to use Sunday sweet milk with linseed. And that was kind of my sugar, so I stopped that. Okay? My question to you is I want to try some almond milk. Is that a good step, bad step, or trouble down the road?
So I thank you very much for the question. I heard you stated that you suffer from diabetes. Not that I have not stated you're diabetic, but you suffer from the condition of diabetes, and you're now asking about a milk source that you used previously, condensed milk, and now you're asking about almond milk. Now, I just want to let you know that with any milk source, whether animal milk or plant-based milk source, that there are sugars associated with such. And given that there are sugars associated with such, we would often advise all of our diabetics to have that dietitian consultation so that you can know exactly what amount, because certainly you're not going to be having almond milk only in your diet for the entire day. And you will be having other sugars, so we would need to get a complete look at your entire intake for the day. And first of all, find out if even adding the almond milk would be beneficial, or simply having whatever cereal you may choose to use with water. That is an option. I know a person may say, oh, that's not so cool. But I will tell you, oatmeal with water with some cinnamon is actually not that bad. It actually tastes quite sweet. And you do not miss the milk. I will put up my hand and I will tell you that because that's what I do. However, almond milk may not be an option for you because of your overall sugar consumption. So you need to have a consultation with a dietitian so that they can appreciate what your complete intake is, so that they can provide you with a plan that is really geared to your specific need. If you want to know if almond milk is a healthy alternative, yes, almond milk is a healthy alternative, but the conversation here really shouldn't be about what is a healthy alternative. Your conversation, because you suffer with diabetes, certainly will focus around the amount of sugar that you will intake even in consuming that almond milk. I hope I've answered your question.
Right. Another thing pertaining to the almond milk, let's say it has in about between 7 to 9 grams of sugar. Is that a bit too much, or that's in line?
Again, because almond milk is not going to be the only thing that you are going to consume in your day or even in that meal that would provide you with sugar, I don't think we can just look at almond milk in isolation and say, yes, go ahead and take almond milk. Then we have to start looking at serving size of almond milk, how much you're going to use in that particular meal in conjunction with all the other things that you may be using before we can say, yes, it is suitable. So I would not say straight up to you, yes, 7.9 grams of sugar, that's fine. I won't say that to you because I do not know what your entire meal plan looks like for your entire day, how many sugars you're consuming. Because, for instance, if I realize that you're going to be having rice for lunch with some potato salad, and at breakfast you're going to be having that almond milk with cereal, and then you're going to be having 2 slices of toast, and maybe as a vegetable some corn, I may say absolutely not, no almond milk for you, because you're already overdoing it. So we need to get an idea of what you're taking in holistically, and then we make recommendations based upon that. And the best person to do that would be a dietitian.
Okay. Thank you.
All right,
you're so welcome.
Thank you kindly. We want to thank our callers, and we also want to thank the good doctors who came together this evening. We are actually up to 7 o'clock already, believe it or not. And they came together this evening, and at last I know for certain now I'm not in any trouble because they haven't scolded me on anything yet. So the meeting of the great minds does not suggest that I'm in trouble. So, but I'm happy to see all three of them. I will give them all a chance now to say goodbye to you and also to remind you of the upcoming programs in the near future.
Okay, so we have lots of topics planned for 2023. Three of us came together like the Three Musketeers, the Charlie's Angels, yeah, whatever you want to call us.
You're quite right, Three Musketeers, but people forget there was a fourth one, Young D'Artagnan. That would be me.
That would be you, yes. And we decided, and I realize persons may have said, but you guys have spoken about SMART goals, exercise, water, and certainly sleep. But you haven't spoken about diet, purposefully so. I am going to leave Kia to speak about that in a little bit. But throughout the month of the remainder of the month of January, we're really going to take a little deeper dive into exercise, some things that you can do at home. Then in February, we want to go into looking at cancers, cancer screening, STIs, sexually transmitted infections, and HPV vaccine, epilepsy, and all that talk surrounding seizures. And then we want to go on into March, just so you get an idea of what we have planned for you, because we have a lot planned for you in 2023. Obesity, glaucoma, kidney disease, salt awareness. You know, we're even going to be talking about trisomy 21 or Down syndrome. And then we're going to go into April and talk about things like autism. And a very interesting topic in April, healthcare costs and planning, something that I think is going to be quite an interesting topic. Vaccines, I know there are a lot of persons who have a lot of questions as it's around vaccines. I know you would have seen internationally that vaccination rates took a dip and they're now back on the rise. So we're going to be talking about that, and certainly elder awareness. And that's just to get you down for the first 4 months of the year. I don't want to spoil it and go ahead and talk too much, but this year is so exciting. I'm so excited about it. I'm going to pass on to Kia now to continue to talk to you about that. I want to wish you a wonderful evening, everyone, and take this opportunity this evening to jot down a few SMART goals for yourself.
All right. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. We are always happy when you're tuned on. I want to say thank you to those who have called in. And next week, we're going to be speaking to a dietitian. So we're going to be looking at diet. We didn't talk about it today. So we're going to have a really good discussion on that. And I want you to, by then, I hope you set some SMART goals, and the dietitian, you know, can help to direct those goals as well. So we want you to be engaged. You know, we have our topics planned, but we're always open. So please reach out. Let us know if there's something that you want to talk about, something that you want to hear about. And we will see where we can incorporate those things as well. So again, we're looking forward to being with you week after week, God's Spirit Life. We wish you all the best.
Yes, and I want to reiterate what my two colleagues have already said. But in addition, I want to remind you to keep this conversation going. You can show us your post-workout selfies with the sweat pouring down, hashtag trying my best, hashtag Better Health Radio Show. On Twitter, you can tweet your goals that you have, your SMART health goals that you have for 2023. And feel free to WhatsApp, Facebook, everything. Just use the hashtag. No, point out some of them next time. All right, so have a good evening. Thank you for having us, Rayson.
All right. Thank you kindly. Those are the voices you will hear in the near future for the presentation of the Better Health Radio Show. We had Dr. Kia Lewis, Dr. Dana Grandison, and of course, Dr. K.O. Ford St. Hill. We want to thank you all kindly, ladies. Until we meet again, God's willing, next weekend and the following weekends, you have a wonderful evening. And thanks so much. All right.
Thank you. Good evening.
You are very welcome. Take care, ladies. There you go. That's the Better Health Radio Show for this evening. The first one for 2023.